91.3 WLRN presents Topical Currents. Join us next for discussion of Miami-Dade County transportation concerns with executives from two important entities. Good afternoon, Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman. A frequent complaint about the South Florida experience is traffic delay. Very few county residents reach urban areas by rail or bus. Sometimes bewildering road projects contribute to stress and road rage, while others extend into baffling long-term detours and lane closures. We'll visit with the Miami-Dade Director of Transportation, Alice Bravo, as well as the Executive Director of the Metropolitan Planning Organization, Eileen Boucle. There are numerous options for traffic mitigation, including expanded buses, reversible lanes, and light rail. We'll hear the pros and cons. First, the news. And 7 minutes past 1 o'clock, it is today's Topical Currents. Joseph Cooper, along with Bonnie Berman, Tuesday edition. Bonnie, we had a nice lunch with some really nice people this afternoon.
We did. We had lunch, a lovely lunch, with Ted, Leslie, and Bob. They are listener members of WLRN who contributed, and we had a lovely
from
lunch.
From the pledge drive.
From the pledge drive, yes. There is one forthcoming. You, too, will have an opportunity to have lunch with us.
We certainly enjoy that. Well, this hour we discuss South Florida transportation issues from a Miami-Dade perspective. We'll get into the nuts and bolts of transportation issues and road construction projects and how they come to fruition and how they're implemented.
And we just want to add here that we're focusing on Miami-Dade today, but we will try to focus on Broward
upcoming
and
programs.
Palm Beach and upcoming programs. With us now is the director of the Miami-Dade Department of Transportation and Public Works, Alice Bravo. As the title implies, she's responsible for a wide range of planning and construction ventures. Welcome to you, Alice.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming on our program. She's joined by her colleague, Manuel Garcia, the Assistant Director of Construction and Maintenance for the Department of Transportation. Thank you for coming, Manny Garcia.
Thank you for having me.
And with us as well is Eileen Boucle. She's the Executive Director of the county's Metropolitan Planning Organization.
The MPO is a federally mandated agency which produces long-range design for many facets of transportation, from sea and airports to roads, pedestrians, and even bicycles.
Welcome to you, Eileen.
Thank you.
Okay, so let's start with you, Eileen, and the Metropolitan Planning Organization. We just gave a little definition of what it is, but just could you explain further what it is and its function?
Yes, certainly. As Joe mentioned, it is a federally mandated entity. It was created by Congress, and any area that has a population in excess of 200,000 has an MPO, Metropolitan Planning Organization, whose function is to ensure a locally driven transportation planning process. The Metropolitan Planning Organization is responsible for the county's long-range transportation plan. It is a 20-year plan. And the short-range transportation plan, which is the transportation improvement plan, that is the current year up to the first 5 years of the transportation plan. In addition, we do produce the Unified Planning Work Program, which is a 2-year transportation plan.
And who's being unified there?
Yes, that includes all projects in Miami-Dade County through the implementing agencies, one of which are here today, Alice Bravo, which is the public representing the Miami-Dade Transit and Public Works agencies of the county. Those are implementing agencies that carry out through implementation, what I mean by that, construction and maintenance of projects in Miami-Dade County. Our other implementing agencies, which are represented in the plan, are Florida Department of Transportation, the Florida Turnpike, Miami-Dade Expressway Authority,
Municipalities?
And municipalities as well. So we have several transportation partners, not just here locally, but we have at the state and federal level. We do coordinate with our federal transportation agencies for funding. Another main responsibility of the Miami-Dade MPO is to prioritize and fund with federal transportation funds that are coming here into the state and to our population here in Miami-Dade County. We prioritize those projects and assign those federal funds to the transportation projects here in Miami-Dade County.
And how many members are on this governing board? How does that operate, and how are the members selected?
Yes, certainly. We currently have 23 members. We have the Miami-Dade County Commissioners. We also have...
That's 13?
We have 13. We also have the Miami-Dade County School Board. Currently, the chair of the school board, Chairman Hatman, is on our board. We have five municipalities. The municipalities become a part of the MPO once they reach a minimum population of 50,000. Right now we have five municipalities. We also have a representative of Miami-Dade Expressway Authority, and we also have a newly appointed board member that represents the municipalities at large at the board level that just joined, was just appointed by the governor. So those are our currently filled board members right now on the board.
I guess I'm wondering, with so many disparate voices, you have five municipalities, you have 13 commissioners, you have all these different people, how do you reach a consensus that benefits everybody when there are so
There's
many...
There's bound to be factions there.
Yeah.
I guess.
Well, I think the thing to stay focused on here is that this is a locally driven transportation planning process. So we do have a large board, but we have a large population, a large diverse population. We are the largest population county in the state of Florida. So we have a large board, and they're really there to represent and make sure that our large diverse population is represented in the transportation planning process. But the real key here is that we are putting the plan together with our agency consensus across the board. And really what our board has been saying is they're wanting to move in the direction of addressing our three critical areas, which is really addressing congestion, addressing choice, making sure that our commuters and travelers have choice, and addressing the needs of the community through transportation, because transportation affects our quality of life, and we have much more than just a single occupant vehicle that we need to address here. So I think in reaching out with our agencies, Miami-Dade Transit, Public Works, Florida Department of Transportation, putting together a capital plan that includes advancing critical projects in each of these agencies that constitute transportation here, and then bringing it to the board for consensus. That is the process as it works. Right now, we have three committees that were created last year by our chairman, John Manestein. He created the Transit Solutions Committee. That committee is highly focused on addressing our critical transit issues that are going on right now in Miami-Dade County. And that committee is working towards a consensus plan for a rapid transit plan for Miami-Dade County. We also have a fiscal committee. That committee will be looking at the transit plan and assigning fiscal and financial analysis as to how that plan will move forward in our transportation plan. And then we have the governance committee. That governance committee, which started in January when I started at the board, is really focused on looking at the structure of the MPO and how to target on the efficiencies and how we can be more effective in our decision-making process. At the MPO board this month, there will be a resolution that will consider allowing the governance board, which voted to recommend visiting some of the highest performing, most successful successful MPOs in the nation to really look at their structure and understand how it is that they're very successful in moving their transit plans forward. So I think there's a lot of good work going on right now by consensus of the board to increase that efficiency and effectiveness and decision-making process.
We've been listening to Eileen Bouclet. She's the executive director of the county's Metropolitan Planning Organization. Also with us is Alice Bravo. She's the director of the Miami-Dade Department of Transportation and Public Works. Alice, give us a thumbnail of what the Department of Transportation of the county does, and including public works, but a thumbnail.
So very briefly, this department is as a result of recent merger of the Department of Transit at the county and the Public Works Department. Mayor Jimenez has the vision of improving transportation in Dade County, and as such, he thought that the best way to do that was to combine these two departments so that all of our transportation personnel, resources, assets were working together and well synchronized to help improve mobility here in Dade County. And that's why very recently the two departments were merged, and that was approved in February. So as a result, we're responsible for public transportation in Dade County. So that includes our 25-mile Metrorail system, our Metro Mover system downtown, our 20-mile busway to the south, as well as special transportation services, and also the regulation of basically taxi cabs and limousines and other forms of transportation.
How does Uber fit in there?
Well, our department has been working very closely with Commissioner Bovo and developing the legislation that was passed at first reading a few months ago, and a workshop was held by the County Commission to discuss ordinances that would allow transportation network entities to operate here in Dade County.
Uber and Lyft.
Correct. At this time, since that ordinance hasn't been passed, a part of my department actually works to issue citations for that type of service. Additionally, through the Public Works branch, we're responsible for hundreds of miles of arterial roadways in Dade County, as well as residential streets in the unincorporated areas, and the signalization and roadway lighting and signage and traffic control throughout the county.
And Manny Garcia, you're the Assistant Director of Construction and Maintenance.
Yes, ma'am.
For the Department of Transportation.
Are you a little more
Works.
Hands-on? Is that...
Pretty much. The purview under my duty is to cover all the construction within the public right-of-way, as well as the maintenance of the infrastructure once it's complete.
Okay. Well, we're going to get more to Alice and Manny and to Eileen Bouclet.
And we'll take
Alice
calls.
Bravo, and we're going to take your calls. Manuel Garcia. Our number, 1-800-743-9576. 1-800-743-9576. Email is radio@wlrn.org. We're talking about transportation issues in Miami-Dade County. We'll be right back.
And it is today's Topical Currents. Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman. We focus on Miami-Dade County transportation issues with Alice Bravo. She's the Miami-Dade Department of Transportation and Public Works Director. And also her colleague, Manuel Garcia. He's the Assistant Director of Construction and Maintenance for the department. And also with us is Eileen Bouclet, the Executive Director of the County's Metropolitan Planning Organization.
Or MPO. And again, our number, and by the way, the phones got really busy, so you have to be patient for Richard to get to you. 1-800-743-9576. 1-800-743-WLRN. Okay, Manny Garcia. One of the guests on our last program on transportation, which we had a few months back, was City of Miami Commissioner and Vice Chairman of the MPO Governing Board, Francis Suarez. So I asked him about coordinating road projects in Miami-Dade County, and I gave as an example getting from Miami Beach to Miami, and I went through the litany of course, the Venetian's open now, Broad Causeway under construction, Venetian closed, can't get to 395 MacArthur.
It was a room with no doors.
And then 63rd Street was going under construction. It said, seek alternate route. I said, there is no alternate route. And he said, we do need better coordination, but he didn't say how that's going to happen. So my question to you is, how is that going to happen?
Well, currently, and the department historically has always done coordination with municipalities, as well as with the Florida Department of Transportation. We continue to do that. We continue to try to improve on those. There's always a possibility of something falling through the cracks, unfortunately. But from a county's perspective, we always send out notices of projects that are upcoming to all municipalities and to the feds to make sure that they're aware of our projects that are going on. In addition to that, once we receive that information, then we put out our project accordingly, and we try to coordinate those things as well.
But you have no way of knowing that that information is received and acted
upon. Or that it's acted on.
Okay. I'd like to say,
please, Alice.
Moving forward in the future, what we're talking about is that these decisions and coordinations are going to have to happen way up front. Basically, each agency develops a capital plan with timing of their funding, and that's when dictates when a project goes into construction. So as we develop our capital plan and the DOT develops their work program, that's where we have to sit down and coordinate these issues so that we don't plan projects on parallel roadways at the same time. So that is a new initiative we're undertaking at the county to coordinate with FDOT, with the municipalities, and with the Miami-Dade Expressway Authority to avoid gridlock.
So can we rest assured that that is going to be done?
Yes, that is something we are focused on doing.
Okay, Alice,
because
you're giving your word here now. That means no Northwest 7th Avenue and
Miami Avenue at the same time.
Yes. Basically the issue is that Miami has grown so much, and so much of our roadway system is over capacity that, any given thing or incident in one area has a ripple effect with regard to congestion throughout the county.
Well, bringing up population, though, it's something I'd like Eileen to address, that our population is still growing. Are there any real transportation solutions in the long run if we keep having such large populations?
The answer is
growing.
The answer is yes, but it's not just transportation, but also our land use. We need to start thinking about how we're linking, really stepping up our efforts to link our land use and transportation projects together. And what I mean by that is that we're looking at, as we're looking at our future rapid transit corridors, which the MPO approved unanimously last month at the February 2016 board meeting, they approved that the highest priority in Miami-Dade County transportation is the advancement of rapid transit corridor projects in Miami-Dade County, where we're looking at the next evolution of what would be considered express bus, moving on to bus rapid transit, moving on to light rail transit and or other transit technologies, but also how are we linking them with our land use? We want sustainable land uses that are placed around these corridors so that we have a feeder system, if you will, that will work with our transit projects so that we can maximize.
Maybe you can give me an answer in a more specific way. I live in the Miami Lakes area, and it's drowning in traffic, a suburb like that. And I've lived there many years, so I've seen the increase, tremendous increase in traffic. And yet, now the residents of Miami Lakes know that this mega mall is going to be built to the west of Miami Lakes. And the only thing that the people that live there can see is more traffic because of that kind of planning. And I know you don't do the property use planning, but when does the leaders of the county and the state decide enough is enough as far as westward expansion in both Broward and Miami-Dade?
Well, I don't have an answer to that particular question as to when enough is enough, but going back to the transportation and land use issue, that's really a good example when you're looking at the development of the Northwest
and infrastructures
quadrant.
Too.
Mm-hmm. When you're looking at the development of the Northwest quadrant of the county, you're going to have to look at how not just the proposed developments that are being looked at, but how that infrastructure, transportation infrastructure, water, sewer, all of the public infrastructure that's required, all of that has to go into the planning. But I would say to the residents of the area where you live in Miami Lakes, that there is a project that's currently being being advanced through the Florida Department of Transportation, which is the Express Lane Envelope that's currently being built on I-75 that will follow through the I-75 and Palmetto Interchange and continue south, connecting to
which is a nightmare as it is now
for the construction. But the good side is that post construction, once that's in place, you'll have the emerging express lane network that started on I-95 will be expanding now, so that you can connect not just north south but east west, and you can connect north-south on the western edge of the county and on the eastern edge of the county. And these type of express bus systems really work best when it's a connected
and managed
regional
lanes
system. Yes,
for autos.
That's correct.
Can I ask about those managed lanes? Because this was another question I asked that we didn't get an answer to. I know that the managed lanes came out of the MPO governing board. The managed lanes. So two questions. What's being done to address the problem of the lane diving, which has become so dangerous and often deadly?
And I think that's an issue that's being looked at by the county, certainly an enforcement and education issue. We need to make sure that the public understands that those separators are there for a reason. You have different traveling speed, if you will, between the lanes and cutting into the managed lanes.
Oh, I'm afraid to take them because of it, or be on either side.
You have to stay on the left side if you're in the managed lane, yeah.
Yeah, certainly it's an enforcement issue and an educational issue. We need to make sure that our drivers know that that is there to protect them for their safety and should not be in any way, shape, or form looked at as an opportunity to enter into a controlled, separated express lane.
But it is being used that way.
Yes.
So what happens to, I guess my other question leads into my other question, what happens to all the fares that are collected? Where does that money go?
Those fares, my understanding of those fares, they go into support the express bus that's currently operating on the 95 Express service, as well as the operations and maintenance of the facility.
Alice?
Yes, and basically, you know, that project was implemented by FDOT, and there were decisions made, you know, you really couldn't widen the highway without extensive right-of-way impacts, and therefore that configuration was put into place. But FDOT collects the revenues from the express lanes, and a large portion of the funding is used for operations and maintenance, and, for example, road ranger services that they have to clear traffic accidents more quickly. And it actually goes not only for the transit service of the express bus that Miami-Dade County runs on the facility, but also that was a P3 project, a public-private partnership, which means FDOT did not have all the funding in hand at the time it was put out for construction, but rather the contractor that implemented the project was paid out over several years. And so part of the revenues goes to actually address the capital
costs. Roughly what percentage comes back to the county that collected the tolls from the DOT?
Well, we receive an annual grant, I believe in the amount of $500,000 a year, that helps fund the express bus service that uses the lanes.
Yeah, $500,000 for all those tolls isn't really very much, is it?
Well, I think we'd have to get the latest breakdown from FDOT as to how much they're collecting and where all the costs are allocated.
I mean, the tolls can get up to, you know, $9-$10 on rush hour.
In rush hour.
Yeah. And the toll is really a variable that helps regulate how many people are getting into the express lanes. If too many cars get in at any given time, the travel speed drops. So the toll actually fluctuates so that the lanes aren't overwhelmed and they don't become congested just like the regular lanes.
Right. Well, we're going to take a short break. We're speaking with Alice Bravo, that's who you just heard, Director of Department of Transportation and Public Works, Manuel Garcia, Assistant Director of Construction and Maintenance for the Department of Transportation and Public Works, and Eileen Bouclay, Executive Director of the Miami-Dade Metropolitan Planning Organization, or MPO. Our number, 1-800-743-9576. We are going to get to your calls, 1-800-743-9576, after this break.
And we're back. It is today's Topical Currents. Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman, also Alice Bravo, Miami-Dade Department of Transportation and Public Works Director, Manuel Garcia, the Assistant Director of Construction and Maintenance for the department, and also Eileen Boucle. She's the Executive Director of the county's Metropolitan Planning Organization.
Well, we were just talking, Eileen and I, during the break about how to make the managed lanes or the express lanes safer. And I was suggesting, and I realize it's the Expressway Authority, but they could take some of the money they're getting from those tolls and perhaps making it so that they would damage cars if cars go
through
it.
That's DOT, though. But
the DOT.
The managed.
Yes. Managed lanes, yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
Let's take a call or two. We've got Perry in Miami. Hi, Perry.
Good afternoon. I've got three quick questions.
Well, start with one. We have a lot of people. Start with one, please.
Okay, this first one. On when we come to a traffic signal and then the light turns green for maybe a 10-second lead, then it goes to red and you have to wait. Even though there's no traffic coming from the opposite direction, you have to wait till the light cycles and then we can make our turn. Sometimes that's 3-4 minutes. Is the county ever going to change that? I know that happened after Hurricane Andrew back in 1992 when they changed the lights. Is that light system possibly going to be changed? And question number two, synchronization of all of the traffic signals in Dade County. Is that on the plan books?
That's a great question. That was one of my questions too, Perry. Alice, bravo.
Well,
I get your phone number also so I can make a call? Your business phone number, office.
How about we do that at the end of the show?
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll get.
Our signals, for the most part, run on a certain cycle length, and you have to give a minimum amount of time to each direction of traffic. So if you just missed the green light and you arrived at a red, you know, we can't instantly switch it back to give that direction the green light. And at every signal, we have certain loop detectors in the pavement, and that's what signals to the signal controller.
And
that
wherever you are,
arrived.
You think you're the aggrieved party, of course.
Right. And of course, you know, at the same time, the caller asked about signal synchronization.
Right.
So
right.
For the signals to be synchronized, you require a certain timing pattern consistently throughout a corridor. The good news is that Dade County has worked very diligently over the past years to revamp the central control system that all signals are plugged into. And for a long time, we had an outdated system, and there were a lot of signals that were just independent and going on a clock. So now they're all plugged into a central control center, and that's wonderful because our traffic engineers at our traffic management center can log into any signal through that computer and make adjustments based on what conditions may be occurring. Now, we've started with a plan to take our 12 major corridors and take traffic counts. We're putting up video cameras and loop detectors, etc., and that basically allows us to collect extensive data and run computer models and adapt the signal timing to better synchronize the signals on a corridor. So the very first one we started with was US-1, and we already have...
Where?
Basically from downtown to Kendall Drive.
Ah, okay. South Dixie.
So we're documenting the green time improvement along that corridor because it's two things. It's your travel time to get through the corridor, and it's also the percentage of time that you arrive at a green light.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when you're traveling on a Saturday afternoon where traffic is light, you don't want to hit each red light. So, you know, that getting that green percentage up is very important. But what we want to do is what we're exploring are different options for what are called adaptive signal systems. So now that we have all the computers plugged in, we want to change the computer that is at each signal, give it more cameras, more detectors, and that way the central computer can adapt signal timing real time in case there's an accident that's blocking flow in one direction. Well, then it would adapt itself and give more green time in the other direction so that traffic can keep moving as efficiently as possible.
What is this MDT tracker?
Oh, that is very important. That is our app that anyone can download for free, and that tells you everything you need to know in order to use public transportation in Dade County. And maybe the most important element there is the trip planning function. So you plug in your address, where you are, your destination, the time that you need to arrive, and it tells you which bus route, which metro rail train. And what we've done is work with all the municipalities, because many of them have circulators. So we've added that circulator information to the trip planning function. So we've installed equipment on all of our buses. So, you know, real time where a bus actually is. So maybe you can see the bus is a little delayed and you have time to go in and buy a cup of coffee and manage your time.
Before we take another call, I have a quick question that perhaps Manny Garcia can answer. It seems like sometimes, I can't give you a specific example off the top of my head, but it seems like a project will begin and there'll be a lane closure, say on Northwest 7th Avenue or say 57th Avenue Red Road, and then there's no work being done for weeks and that lane remains closed and traffic is having to funnel. How is it maintained that these projects, once they're started, they complete that project rather than start down the road farther before that lane is opened up again?
Well, part of a project, and these lane closures occur sometimes for, if the right-of-way is not wide enough for the contractor to store equipment, they use a lane or partial median to be able to store equipment. And those lanes continue to be closed because of that purpose. In other occasions, you have some work that's occurring maybe at night and not during the day. So you don't see it visually. And that night work, you need to keep those lanes closed to make sure that they have access to whatever they need to do during the
night.
And
it's much more dangerous working at night, of course.
But something that we're requiring in our contract documents is that a contractor, for example, has all materials ordered before he can go in and close a lane in order to minimize downtime.
Let me ask you this. This just occurred to me. It seems like in areas of heavy construction, Manny, the construction site gets priority. They just go out there with that little stop sign of theirs in rush hour, and they stop traffic. Who determines that the construction site, who regulates that? Or is it always that they are the priority?
No, all municipalities and the county and FDOT control what time each construction project starts and what time they finish. For Miami-Dade County, our permits require that a contractor does not work during peak hours. They're supposed to start work at 9 a.m. and finish by 4 p.m. There are some instances where we may extend the afternoon time, but it's very unusual that we extend the morning hours unless it's on a local road.
If there are violations of that, what does one do?
You call us. We will monitor the area, and we do shut down the projects when they are in violation of their permit.
Mm-hmm. Which extends the traffic jams by shutting them down.
Well, no, you shut them down and you make them clear the lane and be able to have traffic.
Let's go back to the phones. We're with Jay. Jay's in Hollywood. Hi.
Yes. Hi. Thank you for taking my call, and thanks for talking about this important issue. I live in Hollywood. I drive on 95 almost every day, and I've seen the traffic get a lot worse over the years. I personally don't think that these express lanes are helping in any ways, because you're still using the same amount of lanes. And I have a question whether they have been doing any follow-up studies on whether the lanes are helping the traffic at all. And if the express lanes are here to stay, why are they planning on putting in permanent dividers so people don't jump in and out of the lanes? Because, you commented earlier, it can be very dangerous.
Just so we're all on the same page, what you're talking about are the managed lanes of I-95.
Right.
The express lanes on 95, and now they're extending into Broward.
Right.
But, you know, those lanes. And then I do have another question on future plans to synchronize all the public transportation so that they work in harmony with each other. I'd like to see where I can take a public transportation and go to Miami-Dade airport without having to take a taxi. So that's all my questions and my comments.
Okay, Jay. Alice?
Well, you know, that's something that we want to bring a lot of attention to. Several years ago, the Metrorail was extended to Miami International Airport. And recently, we've conducted a pilot to increase the frequency of that service during the weekends, where it was every 30 minutes, and we're testing it out at every 15 minutes. And so basically, we have several parking garages along the Metrorail that are available for parking overnight. So it's an excellent way to get to the airport, avoid traffic, and make your flight on time using the Metrorail system.
So if you're taking a 3 or 4 day business trip, you can leave your car at the Metrorail station and take the train to the airport.
Correct. And if you work downtown, you could leave your car parked at your office and then take the Metrorail over to the airport and come back. And again, that information is available through the Miami-Dade Transit Tracker app. With you download that, you can see all the schedules there for the Metrorail, and as well as the people mover route downtown.
You know, this kind of made my head spin. I was reading John Dorschner's article in the Biscayne Times, and apparently transportation decisions depend on the actions of the MPO, the Miami-Dade Expressway Authority, the Citizens Independent Transportation Trust Board, the Miami-Dade Transit, the Florida DOT, and Tri-Rail, among others. So I'm wondering, how much of an issue is politics in all this? Do politics play a role in causing some of this gridlock between organizations and between things getting done?
Well, I think, you know, every entity you described responds to a board or elected officials. And the elected officials are basically the policymakers. And the agencies that are boards were created through some legislative act. So at the end of the day, it's those policymakers that are ensuring the interests of the public that elected them are being represented. So I think we're a large metropolitan area, and anywhere in the country, you have just as many agencies, whether it's in New York, they have a port authority and right. this authority and that authority. So that's why professionals develop the plans. But at the end of the day, the funding and the policies are voted on by the elected officials, and that's their role.
Eileen, which areas of the country are best as far as transportation is concerned? And can we apply their successes to a community such as Miami-Dade or South Florida as a whole?
Well, first of all, I would define what best means from my perspective. And what best means from my perspective would be those areas that are able to bring in new federal transportation dollars to their regions in order to advance these larger scale projects, these transit projects that we're talking about. And so some areas that really stand out that really are more successful in bringing those new federal transportation dollars to their areas are really California. You have Los Angeles, San Diego, San Francisco. They're very successful in bringing in new federal starts dollars, small starts, winning Tiger Grant awards, and pursuing other new federal transportation dollars above and beyond what they're allocated for their population base. You have other areas in the nation, including New York, Houston,
Chicago,
Boston, Seattle, Denver. There are many examples across the nation of successful cities that are able to organize, come together under consensus with multiple agencies and multiple boards coming together with one plan, one consensus plan, and going after these types of federal funds that are needed to come into the area and advance a large-scale a plan that includes several projects. And that's what we're looking at the MPO right now as to how they're able to organize. And like I said earlier, some of these areas really practice a really very strong linkage in their land use and transportation planning. So that's one area that we'll be looking at.
Okay, we're talking about Miami-Dade transportation issues with Alice Bravo, Manuel Garcia, and Eileen Boucle. It's our last break. Stay on the phone and we'll get to your calls after.
And we're back. It's Topical Currents. Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman. We're speaking with Alice Bravo, Manuel Garcia, and Eileen Boucle. We're talking about Miami-Dade County, especially traffic issues. And next up, it's Joel in Fort Lauderdale. Hi.
Hi, how you doing, sir?
Good.
I just have a comment and a question. I've been working down in Miami for the last 8 years, and the congestion is getting worse and worse. I'm talking about have to take I-75 every day, every single day, day and night. Oh, let's put it this way, six in the morning and 6 o'clock at the nighttime. It takes me an hour to get to work, and it takes me an hour and a half to get back home every single day for the last 4 or 5 years. My question is any plans to build a better public systems like train, like the major cities like Boston, Chicago, New York, all those big cities up here down in Miami, or, you know, with Broward and Dade County?
Okay, thank you, Joel. We have that also as an email question, heavy rail.
This is perhaps the number one topic of discussion with regard to transportation in Dade County today. It is something that Eileen at the MPO and the county and FDOT are all working very closely on. We have, as a community, laid out various corridors that have been discussed over the years, and with so North Corridor along 27th Avenue, or Beach Corridor, and East West Corridor, the South Dade Corridor, Kendall Corridor, and for a long time, people have been exploring the ability to have Metrorail on these corridors, and basically, you know, the cost of a Metrorail system is too expensive for us without some type of new funding source. So basically all these corridors are being evaluated for what are the most practical solutions that we can effectively implement in a short time frame. So that when Eileen makes reference to developing a consensus plan, that's what needs to occur here over the next few months. Because
will it?
I think so. I'm very positive about that, because we're a vibrant community. Everybody wants to move here. That's reflected on the number of people that move here, the development patterns we have. So it's incumbent upon us to find those sound transportation options. So not everybody's going to use transit, but we want to make sure that option exists in every part of the county.
Quickly, an update on Baylink, downtown to Miami Beach and vice versa. What's the projection there?
Well, it's currently organizing the City of Miami Beach, Miami-Dade County, and the Florida Department of Transportation have come together as transportation partners to see how to move the beach corridor forward. We're also engaging the Federal Transit Administration. So it's currently organizing right now within all of those entities as to how to initiate the first step, which would be the environmental NEPA
process. So they will make a unified plan and then try and get federal dollars?
So the goal to that would be to initiate an environmental document, either state or federal environmental document, and pursue state and federal dollars. I think those are current discussions and decisions that are taking place right now.
Do you address I don't know whose purview this comes under, maybe yours. And we talk about green methods of transportation, also bicycles, walking, whatever, but Florida streets rank last nationally for pedestrian safety. And bicycle lanes, although they're now being built, they're still lagging behind. Is that being addressed?
Absolutely. I think the state of Florida, in particular, the Florida Department of Transportation, is leading an initiative statewide to make sure that the state of Florida can get off that list. That's something that none of us want to be known for as being a high crash or high safety risk for pedestrians and bicycles. But here in Miami-Dade County, with the Florida Department of Transportation in a leadership role, we are definitely focused on our bicycle and pedestrian planning and initiatives. At the MPO, we have a bicycle pedestrian staff member who's dedicated to just focusing on this mode of transportation, and not just from a safety perspective, but also from a complete streets and livability perspective, because it's not just about the workforce commute. You know, we live here, we play here, we work here, we like to walk, ride our bicycles, recreational, and our need for trails. All of this is part of the transportation system that we definitely include in our transportation plan.
And we'll go back to the phones. We've got Mike in Hollywood. Hi.
Hi. Is this, you asked for Mike in Hollywood?
Yes.
Oh, hi. Thank you so much for having me on. Well, I'm a native of South Florida since 1956, so I've been driving on these roads for, say, some 42 years. My question would be, what are the statistics on the increase, I doubt it's a decrease, on these express lanes on accidents, in particular fatal accidents? who has these statistics? And it's, and also during the construction of this event, I mean, it's just so dangerous.
The Florida Department of Transportation is responsible for the managed lanes, and I guess would have the figures on that. We don't have a representative from FDOT on today, okay. But Mike, that's a good question, and we'll try and get the answers at a later time.
Well, yeah, my comment briefly would be we should put our safety and our lives first rather than revenue for the county.
Very good.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you.
I have one other question about 95 in general, or A1A in general, and I don't know who can answer, Manny maybe. Who makes the decision, we're going to close 95 because there was an accident, or we're going to close A1A because there was an accident?
Whenever there's an accident, at law enforcement takes over, and it's, you know, their prerogative to carry out the investigation as quickly as they can, but they're concerned about the safety of their officers at the scene, and therefore that's how those decisions are made.
Can't they leave one lane open for traffic?
I've had this conversation with law enforcement, and they do what they can, but they're not going to endanger the lives of the officers.
No, of course not, but it just seems that when you make that decision to close a major artery, north-south artery, or east-west artery, that you could be a little more judicious in leaving a lane for traffic.
And I think they do what they can to maximize how much traffic they can still allow while that investigation's ongoing.
And we move along to Don in Miami. Don, you're up.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I have been wondering if we're not kind of living in a fantasy environment where we are in denial of the fact that South Florida is the epicenter, one of the epicenters of the world in terms of water inundation because of sea level rise, and that we're being very reactionary in dealing with traffic as far as building infrastructure to try to correct the problem, when a lot of the areas we're talking about in the next few decades may be inundated with water. And is this a problem that they're paying attention to at all as they try to decide and plan on what's going to be built to correct traffic problems, when we may see, for instance, Sweetwater and Miami Beach and areas of Broward County inundated with water in the future?
Right.
What are we going to do with that? And shouldn't we be more talking about doing things like having a moratorium on building infrastructure to the west, especially, and trying to deal with this in a more proactive way instead of a reactionary way?
Alice?
Well, I can certainly answer that. From the county's perspective, we're focused on this, and we've developed a sustainability plan, and we have a sustainability director that's working with every department and every type of resource, whether it's transportation or water and sewer infrastructure. And certainly growth here is curtailed by the fact that we have what's called the urban development boundary. And so that is a line that is very difficult to move, and keeps our growth concentrated in a certain area. But you can see that many municipalities such as Sweetwater and Miami Beach are putting in pump systems and are doing what is done in the Netherlands to protect your residences.
Well, we had a show on that.
It's really flown by.
Alice Bravo, Director of Department of Transportation and Public Works. Manuel Garcia, Assistant Director of Construction and Maintenance for the Department of Transportation and Public Works. And Eileen Bouclay, Executive Director of the Miami-Dade Metropolitan Planning Organization. Thank you so much for being with us today.
And thanks for tuning in this hour. The program was produced by Richard Ives. Technical direction from online producer Paul Leary. Polly Landis is associate producer. Of course, we have free audio archives for download at our website. That's WLRN.org. Also, we have links and photos at the Topical Currents Facebook page. Tomorrow's program is with prolific journalist David Kushner. He's written about the dreadful family experience of coping with the kidnapping and murder of a Florida youngster in 1973. The victim was his 11-year-old brother, John. The book is Alligator Candy. Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman, thanks for listening. Stay tuned for Here and Now, next from NPR News.